Okay. Since I'm standing here for a moment, actually, you can stay standing while I say the first few things. I'm so delighted to be here, and I'm so happy that Elena has been organizing these global education conferences these past 6 years. I'm so excited about it because global education has really been neglected, I would call it neglected. And global education is not something that we do in Africa or we do in Nepal. And global education isn't something that happens in Finland when a child from Afghanistan suddenly comes into the classroom. It's something that belongs to every classroom in the world. And as I was thinking about this, I thought of my own dissertation, which is on global education, which, as far as I know, is the first done in Finland, as far as I know. And I brought a copy to show you what it was. It was started in 1993 is when I started my research, and I defended it in 2001, and it took place in a first and second grade classroom in Jyväskylä, and it was at that time called about creating a diversity positive environment in schools, and it was quite successful and was also tested in Lebanon and in daycare and in different places like that. I thought I would just pass it around so you could see what it was. But today we're going to be speaking about Samuel Florin from the Valo Huomiseen. It's a non-governmental organization concerning young Roma in Finland, and he can explain a bit about it in a minute. My interest in, you can sit down if you would like. My interest in the Roma, often people ask me, what is my interest in the Roma? I'm an educational sociologist, so I'm interested in everybody and interested in all cultures. And my special interest was in preventing conflict in schools and dealing with conflict when it is small and preventing school harassment and questions like this. So I became part of the Roma work group in the city of Jyväskylä. We will speak about it more. And for the past 13 years. And so I've been involved in a number of European Union projects concerning the education of Roma. And I'll be speaking about that in a minute. Okay, I think I go to this. This is a little bit high up for me, this table, but I'll see what I can do. So, why is it this? We're having computer problems. All right, what did you touch? Okay, I feel more comfortable from behind the table here. This is Hannah Newman. This woman is the first ever Finnish Roma school teacher. She became a school teacher in 2010. This is huge. This was a huge, huge accomplishment. I have heard that since then a man, a Roma man, has become a school teacher, and it's absolutely amazing. And so the question that we will be addressing today is, why is it that in a country like Finland, which is so keen on equality and so keen on education, that it could be only 6 years ago that the first Roma woman has graduated as a school teacher? I'm very happy to say that not only has she qualified as a school teacher, I checked yesterday, she is working as a school teacher in a secondary school, and this made me jubilant. So not only has she qualified, but she is working. And that is not the case in most cases with the Roma and some of us. So since there are so few non-Europeans here, I thought it important to give you a background of the Roma so that you could understand the whole question. So who are the Finnish Roma, and why in a country like Finland are so few educated? And so the questions that usually come up, are they Finns? Where do their clothes come from? Why do they have discrimination? Do they speak Finnish? And is education of the Finnish Roma moving forward? These are questions I'm going to very quickly address. And then Samuel will be discussing recent research by the National Board of Education on the education of adults and those in secondary school, and will be answering questions also. Is there interference if I have two mics here? No. Okay. So there are Roma all across Europe. I'm not giving you a number because there's such a discrepancy of how many in Europe, but we're speaking about the tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of Roma across Europe. The Finnish Roma are Kale Roma. There are other Kale Roma in Finland, but the ones that are here are called Kale Roma. There's the largest traditional ethnic minority in Finland. In Finland, there are 10,000 Finnish Roma, plus an additional 3,500 to 4,000 Finnish Roma in Sweden. They are citizens with full rights and obligations. They follow the same law. They go to the same army. They do the same things, are eligible for the same schools, for the same social services as other Finns in Finland. And there's lots and lots and lots, a huge amount of room for development, for improvement in Finland in terms of human rights issues and discrimination and all those questions. There's room for development. Where did they come from? The most common belief is they came from India, northern India. Their language is based on Sanskrit and Hindi, just like other Indo-European languages. I was looking into Roma language last week and noticed it's much easier to learn Roma than it is to learn Finnish. My goodness, I should have studied Roma than Finnish language. They arrived in Europe, 1300s, and they arrived in 1500s in Finland. During the period of time when we were part of Russia, there were more reinforcement of Russian Roma that came into Finland in the 1800s, when Finland was part of Russia. Where do their clothes come from? The clothes used by the Kale, the Finnish Roma, are unique in the world. If you see a woman in this dress, she is a Finnish Roma. She is not a Roma from other parts of the world. They only wear this. It is based on modesty. The clothing of the Finns, both the men and the women, is based on modesty. So all of these ruffles that you see are in places that reflect that they want to be modest. They're always very covered up. And they show commitment to identity, their Roma identity, the Roma culture, adulthood, and purity. The girls are not forced to wear these skirts, this uniform, not at all. Parents encourage them that, wait a while, you know, you have the rest of your life if you want. And the girls are very keen on getting their skirts because it's a sign of adulthood, and they have more rights as adults once they take on this special costume that the Roma wear. Once they do take it, they may not remove it. And when I mean they may not remove it, I mean you don't. They don't go into the kitchen without this outfit on. They wear it every day, all day, everywhere, unless they are working out of the sight of the public, like in a kitchen or someplace where they're not seen. So where does it come from? It is based on the clothing that was used in the Finnish countryside about 100 years ago. And velvet, which is now the dominant, it's all velvet, but in the old days, there was a bit on the hemline. But this has now gone up through the years until now that the whole skirt is velvet, and the blouse, which has its special name, Ruyu. I can never pronounce that, Ruyu. And it's something very special. But there are, you will only notice if you are with Roma a lot, that the styles do change. And there is a certain amount of change and developing color and style, things like that. Roma men also have special clothing. You'll notice Samuli is very covered up here. He does not have a shirt without a covering over it. This is a part of the traditional Roma men's costume. You can see here three different examples through history. Some say it's based on the taxi driver uniform or a car, a horse uniform. The point is that if they were to wear a shirt without a covering, a vest or a sweater or a jacket, it would be like being in underwear. So it would be immodest for them. Okay, this is the idea. So it's all based on modesty, which in my opinion is a great thing. I like it. So why has there been such systematic discrimination against the Roma throughout Europe? What in the world has all this discrimination come from? They have been unwanted people throughout Europe since the 1500s. They were brought to concentration camps. They died in concentration camps, just like the Jews and the other discriminated people. And there were laws in Finland to expel the Roma. There were laws throughout Europe to expel the Roma. I'll just throw a story in here. In Austrian Oberwald, where I was there for an EU project on the Roma, as in many parts of Europe, also in Finland after World War II, the Roma were in certain camps outside the city. They were not allowed to live within the city limits. They lived outside. And they spoke Roma language. And when they came to send people off to concentration camps, they identified the Roma as Roma by the language that they spoke. So they shipped these people off to concentration camps. Some survived. And when they returned, they were not permitted to return because they were told that they were not Austrian citizens, so they were not permitted to return from the concentration camp. As a postscript to this story, parents then did not want to teach their children Roma language because they didn't want them to be identified as Roma, and so they did not speak to them. They spoke to them in German, Austrian German, and it wasn't until now, this generation, that they say that they want to know their Roma language, and now they have a magazine, actually, that one page is in German, the next page is in Roma. So, what do I do? So the families were broken, children were taken by force. Also in Finland, in the 60s, there was a decision made that the Finnish culture and the Roma culture were too different to live in the same place. So they systematically began to take Roma children away from their families, put them in foster homes and in schools in order to systematically have them lose their language and their traditions. Some good friends of mine were, these are now women my younger than me. I'm 64, so my 54-year-old friend was one of these women who was taken away from her family. Over 500,000 were exterminated. And now I want to say something about the history of the Finnish Roma. All of the pictures that I'm showing you are real pictures from family albums. Do you know these people? Okay, well, these people are the grandparents of a Roma person here in Jyväskylä. Now, I want to put this into some kind of a context. So at 64, Roma my age remember being in a caravan when they were children. Their parents were most likely illiterate. Okay? Now it's changing. So, for example, Samuli, his parents are educated. So we're talking about, but Roma parents today, I think, would say unusually more, the most that I know in the US. But the situation is that Roma children throughout the country can't get help from parents with their homework. That's the stage that we're at now. So they've had continuous problems being landless. They were forbidden to own property until the 60s in Finland. And this has caused tremendous problems for the Roma. Because they were landless, they couldn't vote because it was based on property. You had to have property in order to vote. And because they were landless, they couldn't go to school because there wasn't a local school for them to go to. There was also a limitation of what types of profession, because they were nomadic. They were going from place to place in caravans. And so they worked as horse breeders, traders, fortune tellers, beggars, and also this bleeding. They did this kind of kuppaus. It's this kind of bleeding. They were excluded from all religious education. There's a historical basis to this too, from the period when Finland was part of Sweden, that during that period, the priests were told that they should not baptize or marry or bury the Roma. And so they were excluded, and attending school was close to impossible. So they have an extremely short history of schooling. Many older Roma are illiterate. Parents are unable to help children with their schoolwork, and in general, school is not, hasn't been part of the Roma culture. Then in the 90s, there came a time of strengthening Finnish identity and rights. There came more laws that came that they could protect their identity, their cultural identity. And now in the 2000s, the big word is school, 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 school. That's what we're talking about all the time, all the time. So they have tremendous obstacles to employment. They have very little work experience. They have few vocational qualifications. They lack professional role models. They have teenage families. So as one Roma fellow said to me, we do the same things that the other Finns do. We do them in a little different order. So for example, my brother, he got married when he was 17, had children. Now he's going to school. And you do it a little differently. You go to school, then you get married, you have the kids. So it's the same process. Tremendous prejudices. Only 70% graduate from primary school, and there's limited vocational training for adults. Samuel is going to tell you more about fresh off the presses research about among adults. So now I'm going to tell you quickly about a project that I'm just now finishing up for the European Union Agency for Fundamental Rights, and it's called LEIRI, which is Local Engagement for Roma Inclusion. It's taking place now in 11 countries and 21 cities, and one of them is Jyväskylä. So I'm going to tell you about Jyväskylä. So the focus of LEIRI has been on youth in Jyväskylä, and it is based on five different areas. One is on the development of the individual Roma youth, graduating from school, getting their diploma. This has been very difficult, and I can tell you more about this when we go into questions and answers, and helping them to move on to secondary education, any kind of secondary education. And so we're working on hands-on, on getting them, helping them. And what we're doing is we have peer support groups where they are, you know, we buy pizzas and we kebabs, and then they are supporting each other and doing family work. Lifelong guidance, development of new styles of guidance, counseling for Roma, also guidance students, undergraduate and professional development, social welfare, professional development, reduction of prejudices, and to have them expand their identity with the pan-European Roma. I want to end with two things. One is, this is a quote from a student in the LEIRI project. I call this six walls of self-doubt. This is what he said verbatim, only translated. Why is it a problem to be in school, I ask. What's the problem? He says, well, I'm sitting in the classroom, I think, can I do this? Will I understand what the teacher says? Will I be able to do the assignment? If I can do this assignment, will I be able to do all the assignments to complete the class? If I complete this class, can I complete all the other classes in the program? If I complete everything in this program, will my grades be good enough to get into a new school? A new school by secondary school. And then the last one, if I do get accepted in secondary school, can I complete all the courses of the 3 years of study? And finally, if I do complete the school and get good enough grades, will anyone hire me anyway? Is it all for nothing? And so finally, the need for development and training for guidance counselors. I'm doing my best here. Three things. The Roma youth, they don't know what jobs are available in society, what exists. They know electrician and plumber and doctor and lawyer, but they don't know all the jobs there are. They don't think that choosing a career is part of their life. And they don't know about what types of secondary educations are available. More information, you can go to Romanit Istifi. Here are my photos, and here are my references. Are we going to now? I can finish, yeah? And here are my references. So now I hand it over to Samuel.
Yeah.
You want that?
Just a quick few words. I'm Samuel Florin, here from Jyväskylä, and I work on our NGO called the Roma Youth of Jyväskylä. And we have this program funded by the RAU. I don't know the English word. We are working with the Roma youth who are in need of special skills for their handling of life. So this is from our end. I'm going to tell after lunch more about this. Now I think everybody's hungry and a bit tired.